This is Rob Hogan, and you're listening to Radio Golf Show! Yes, for a
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to RotoFest 23, the 2026 Open Championship at Royal Birkdale. It is the 154th running of the Open, and it's the 11th time the championship has been celebrated at Royal Birkdale Golf Club, located in the seaside town of Southport, 20 miles north of Liverpool in the northwest of England. Englishman Tommy Fleetwood recently referred to Royal Birkdale as our St. Andrews. Five-time Open champion and British PGA co-founder J.H. Taylor is probably most responsible for the current routing, although a couple of changes have been made since 2017. They eliminated one hole and put another one in. But one of Birkdale's most memorable moments probably happened when it hosted the 1969 Ryder Cup, which ended in a tie when Jack Nicklaus conceded a short putt to Tony Jacklin to have their match, ending the competition at 16-16. Peter Thomson, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Johnny Miller, and Tom Watson have won Opens here. Brandon Grace became the first golfer to shoot 62 in an Open here. The venues for the 2026 majors we've seen, Aronimink, Shinnecock, and now Royal Birkdale, have been outstanding selections by the respective committees. This track is a par 70, playing to 7,156 yards, and should be a lot of fun to get to know during the next few days. The weather seems to be fine. The course is firm, and it will be a terrific test of Lynx Golf, and we are here with our golf show all-stars, a mixed bag, kind of a reunion. We have Mr. Malcolm Duck back from Scotland. We have Ted Long, who is, again, always here. And we have Brother Burley from Holland. The format is the same as always, the new improved long ball edition. Six categories. You can pick anybody you want, whether they've been picked or not. Malcolm, maybe we'll start with you when we go to the first category. You were just at the Scottish Open at Renaissance. I believe the first tournament in 87, last 87 tournaments where Scottie Scheffler has missed the cut. And he is, of course, at the top of the first category, which are our top six U.S. boys, with Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Christopher Goderup, how the RNA lists him on the Open website. The Hotel is back in the top six Americans, and Cameron Young. Malcolm, I'm sure you'll tell us a bunch of stuff about the Scottish, but did you have a chance to get a look at Scotty and tell us what you saw, what maybe people don't see on TV?
Yeah, Scottish Open, I look after the back nine holes, all the marshals, all the roping there. So you don't manage to get a heck of a lot of watching, but you are walking quite a lot with the big groups to try and control the pathways and the exits from green as entrance onto tees. There's a hell of a lot of work goes on to make one of these tournaments work. It's one of the, I had a friend up, an old pal who I went through Roman training with 46 years ago, and he made some interesting observations. People follow their friends or their people they like. And even the Scottish Open, I think it's now the fifth best field in golf. Maybe not the fifth biggest crowd, but the fifth best field. And even, you know, some of the top guys, Saturday afternoon, one off the pace, 15 people following him because he wasn't known. Mm. And then, you know, Rory not playing well, massive crowds, Scottie Scheffler, massive crowds. So real kind of disparity, you know, the difficulty for the big guys to handle all the big crowds, people making noise and so on, and people high five and going through different bits if you know whether they want to or not. And then that maybe breaks concentration. Then the other side, you know, a lot of people are not watching. Renaissance set up really well. I think the general consensus, it's coming on more and more, a lot of time and effort being into it. The water sprinkler heads are now about 8 inches below the ground, so that's all sand. New bunkers put in, all the bunkers to the bottom of them are sand. So it was pretty dry and fiery, so pretty good test for links. I don't know what was up with Scotty. He doesn't look like he's playing bad golf, but you know, links golf, you get a bad bounce, something doesn't quite work. It's you know, I play off seven, so I'm not really anyone to speak, but it's maybe harder to make something happen on a links course than it is in a non-links course. Scheffler looked like he hit it pretty well. Rory again hit some interesting shots, but managed to recover. I wouldn't write Scheffler off for the Open, that's for sure. Colin Morikawa played really well. Chris Goddard played extremely well. I'm going to go with Goddard. He won the Scottish Open last year. Yeah, and he was in the hunt coming into the end in Scottish Open. And I think the conditions down there will not be dissimilar. So he's obviously hitting it well, playing well, and his confidence is up.
Is
Yeah,
it
so I'm going to go with that.
you mentioned that it's one of the biggest fields of the year. I remember, in my mind, it's not too long ago, where these weeks before a major were really non-event tournaments, especially in the US. Ted, is that something that you remember, that these weeks before a major were not really well staffed by the best players?
You're asking me.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime they played in Scotland, most of the guys came over because they wanted to get used to the conditions. I think that anybody who shows up on Monday is not going to have a good chance to win. There's so much transition going on, not just with the time, but how much longer the sun stays up, the food. I mean, it can be, think about it. I've seen guys out there with warm gloves on in the middle of summer. I mean, you have to transition your body. You know, the golf game part, I don't think is that difficult for them because that's what they do all the time. But if you're serious, look at the Masters. In the old days, Jack Nicklaus came a week before and he spent the whole week practicing around the greens. I know Tiger Woods did that. I think nowadays, I think I mean, other than the pump, right? I think it's as close as you can get to a British Open, the Scottish Open, with the field and the course. If I just think the whole world's changed. I think these days with the money and private planes, it's a completely different world. Remember, they used to, Ben Hogan had to come over with a boat, right? And they had to go home with a boat. So it was something they had to think about. And in the end, they said it was more expensive to go there than it was to play and win almost. So nowadays, the money's so big, there's so many rewards you reap out of playing well or winning one of these things that you have to take it as seriously as you can. Plus, to me, you know, growing up in Europe, it's like if you're open champion, that's just amazing. You got that for the rest of your life. You can win 10 tournaments on the US tour and have a huge house. But if you won an open, you can be picking up driving range balls and you're still, you know, one of the disciples of the game.
Yeah, Frank, it got co-sanctioned about 3 4 years ago and got FedEx points, and that made a big difference. Because if you went played Scottish Open, you didn't get FedEx points. So was it the Farmers was on at the same time? I can't remember which, but that had FedEx points. So now it's co-sanctioned that the junior European Tour guys can go across there, and the big boys come across here. So I think that's made a big difference. And also the work that the Sarvadi family, you know, Americans have put into the course, and what they've spent in bringing on every year has made a big difference. Because Jerry, member of Sawgrass, so Paul Sarvadi, sponsors the US Houston Seniors thing, member of Augusta. So they understand golf, and they know a lot of people in and around golf. So the communication has been very helpful. I mean, again, this year, because we've done it as a senior team with the volunteers. I mean, I know most of the players' security guys. I know all the TV camera guys. So if the camera guys have got an issue about getting across things, you can help and make that kind of better. So the head of the American guy, head of security, was a Marine, used to fly helicopters at the same base as my mate, Brigadier Paul Denning, who came out. So all these little links make things work better, make things work more easily. And I think that helps the players have a better experience. And I think from what I hear, the players enjoy going there because they know what they're getting into and the regularity of going into it. They don't want to play a new place every year, you know, a 3-year rotation.
Yep.
Or 3 years one place and whatever, but the fact they know the course, and I think the last two or three Opens, winners have put down some of their winning to playing in the Scottish Open at Renaissance. That is, as you just said, is that helps.
I was there when they were at Liverpool because Hurley played in the Open at Liverpool, and you know I got to play every day because he didn't like me to watch him to play. Right, I got to play every day at Archerfield Links. That place is spectacular. I mean, that was one of the most beautiful links courses in the world. And then they got the really tough one. I played the fun one, which is one, if I said I could play there every day. There's the golf in North Berwick and that up in that area is just spectacular.
Scotland's Golf Coast, we call it. Scotland's Golf Coast.
Exactly right. Exactly.
It's brilliant.
Ted, from this group of the top six U.S. boys.
I thought you were going to say this guy's here that we're on the podcast.
Who are you going with?
Me?
I tell you right now, I don't know who the hell the hotel is. I used to have a friend, they call him the whole house, a German guy.
Wyndham Clark, baby. Clark.
I don't like him.
don't beat about the bush.
Broke Hurley's course record at Pebble Beach, moving the ball and getting a free drop in a ditch.
There you go.
That was an unbelievable lie. Okay, so he's off for me. I just don't see any. You'd be stupid not to pick Scottie Scheffler. I could see picking Cam Young. I'm going with Scottie Scheffler because if he wins, I'm happy. I like Cam Young next. Xander, I really like, but he's kind of been off and on.
Mm-hmm. Scottie, it is for you. Stuart Burley is back, sir. As a non-American, would you imagine that these six guys are the skeleton for next year's U.S. Ryder Cup team?
Well, I mean, you know, they're all pretty special. But I mean, going along with Ted, I agree with Ted. I think Scottie Scheffler, he missed the cut. I don't think he's too worried about missing the cut in the Scottish Open. I think he's got a couple of extra days to work on his swing. And I think he had his straight down and he's been working hard. I mean, we all know how hard he works. It wouldn't surprise me if he comes hot out the blocks on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never know with Scottie.
What a great guy too, huh?
Yeah.
And only 29 years old or whatever. To even it out, my very first pick also was from the very beginning, Christopher Goderup. I think... you know, we've had Aaron Rye, a British Cinderella story. Why not have an American Cinderella story and have a guy like this win the Open Championship? We will wait for Mr. Ogren and come back to him. And, of course, if we look at the top six U.S. players, our next category are the top six Euros. And there we have, and that, I believe, is totally the Ryder Cup skeleton for us next year, with Rory Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm, Ludwig, and Bobby Mack. Let's go back to Malcolm for the Euros. All of these guys were playing at Renaissance, so I think you got a pretty good look at him, and you probably have a better feel than most of us about who is the best links player there.
Yeah, Ted's kind of right. It just depends who's there on the day. I think John Rahm's going to struggle. I just don't, you know, just not sure quite. He's at the races for this level. McIlroy can turn it on and off. You know, he didn't have a great start on Sunday morning, but then he rattled it out the cage. Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy not to go with Rory McIlroy. I mean, Rory is the one guy, you know, he wasn't playing well. I was walking around with his security guards. I said, he's the one guy who can turn it on. He can be five shots behind with eight holes to play, and he can do it. I don't think there's anyone else who can do that. He can also drop three shots. I mean, his driving this year has not been phenomenal, and yet he still has managed to get into contention or in the top five or in the top ten. So, I mean, I think I'd... Yeah, I'd love to go to Bobby McIntyre because from Oban down the road from me and Malik, but I it's a no brainer.
Yeah,
taking a pick, it's going to be Rory McIlroy. He's going to be up there.
Malcolm, would you consider driving accuracy an important stat when it comes to links golf?
Not so much. I think keeping the ball in play depends a bit on the rough. I think Renaissance held up really well considering there was no wind. When Renaissance was in those conditions early days, they were 26, 27 under. Mm-hmm. Now they've got the fescue right up. And the fescue, it's like tree trunks. You can go in and find your ball, but getting it out, you need to stay in the fairway. So I don't know what they've done at the Open, but being on the fairway or in the light semi and not in the cack, mm-hmm. Not in the fescue. I hate this American terminology, in the weeds. You know how long we've taken to grow that beautiful grass? You know, like it's like your introduction. You're talking
like
about
that.
You're talking about routing and track. I mean, we have a layout and we have a golf course. We have a track. We have a golf course. We have a routing. We have a layout, my dear chap. So I think, you know, to say driving is not important. You know, Rory was 20, 30 yards past guys on par five. So he's got a much better chance of getting home. He's hitting a shorter shot in. So a lot of these greens are quite wiggly. So it's going to help. But, I mean, if you're coming in from 160 rather than 180, does it matter? If you come 140 rather than 160, does it matter? So putting and second shots is kind of what golf's about. And I think that's even more so in links. I don't know if people agree or disagree with that.
Well, I just refer to it as the routing and you as the layout. So the loud hum you hear is that of J.H. Taylor spinning in his grave. I apologize for that.
No, I love how America and Scotland comes together in golf. It's no one right, no one wrong. It's just there to slightly take the mickey out of each other. It's all good.
It is Rory McIlroy for you, Mr.
I think if anyone else had that chance to pick, I think everyone would go with the same pick.
Yeah, well, you can pick anybody you want. Brother Burley.
I'm going with Rory.
Are you going with Rory also, Stuart?
I'm going with Tommy Fleetwood.
No, of course you are.
Yeah.
Because of the hair.
Well, not just that. I think he's very stylish. But unlike me. But he's now getting to the point where it's going to get frustrating that every time he doesn't win a major, mm-hmm. he's now probably the best player not to win a major.
Yes.
So I think he's going to get kind of, I think there's a certain point where you think, okay, it's about time. And he's definitely getting to do it. I think he knows the course pretty well.
Yeah. So, he basically, I guess he knows the course better than anybody.
Yeah.
That's where he's from.
Yeah. And he's in good form. So I don't see why not.
He looked pretty relaxed last week. He looked very relaxed last week.
Yeah.
19 to 1. Maybe we'll put a few shekels on him before the
game
kicks off. Mr. Long.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to break this down for you so everybody can understand it. Malcolm's right about Rory McIlroy 100%. However, he does have a propensity sometimes to find ways to screw things up. But he's always in the position to win when that happens, which is why everybody picks him, because he's always there. Okay. Now, my theory on these things where I'm not really invested money is I go with some guy who maybe is not one of my favorite guys, but I think he's a good player. Then if the guy I like wins, I've got a double chance of being happy. Okay, so if McIlroy wins, I'm very happy. I think he's a great guy. Tommy Fleetwood, I want to just say this, and I realize this podcast, what, we've got 40 to 50 million people that'll be listening to this?
Approximately. Depends on whether you're on or not.
Tell me one time in 20 years he's been out there, whatever he's been out there, that there's ever been any controversy or he said something bad. I mean, even during the Ryder Cup where the Americans acted like idiots, you know, you could see he was trying to, you know, like negotiate some sort of pick. The guy is just a spectacular human being. He's a hell of a golfer. I'd love to pick him. However, I think that Fitzpatrick has gotten so much better. He's hitting the ball farther. He works the ball very well. Wolfgang Glavu, I coach, can chip any way you want, like God, and he pitches cross-handed. It's unbelievable. So I'm going with him. I think McIntyre's too suspect. Allberg is good. He's going to be in there. I'd love to see Fleetwood win, but I think Fitzpatrick, because every time I think everything's perfect, I lose. Okay. So I'm gonna go away from what I normally say. I think Fitzpatrick to me is a hot pick. Now I might be jinxing the guy, but to me, he's at 16-1. I wouldn't mind putting 50 quid on him.
Ted the contrarian against himself. I like that. But you mentioned Tommy Fleetwood, you know, never saying anything bad about, you know, not getting even at the Ryder Cup. Is that something you need as a player? I mean, you know, you and I have talked about the blood in the eyes of John Rahm in a practice round. I mean,
and here's the deal. They're all different players. They have different strengths and weaknesses. The thing about Tommy Fleetwood that makes him so good is he's so authentic. He's not trying to be something he's not. That's why his career will go on so long. Whereas you get somebody like, you know, Fitzpatrick, he's had to reinvent himself a little bit, and so is Rory. He's just a generally nice guy. John Rahm is generally exactly what it looks like. He's a bull, you know, with horns. Hurley played the practice round at Liverpool with him and Phil Mickelson, right? So I'm walking around with these guys. And on one tee box, I got in behind John Rahm and took a video. Hurley said to me after, "Don't do that again, Dad." I said, "Oh, okay. Why is that?" He goes, "He told me it was up to him. Not even coaches would be allowed inside the ropes." I said, "Okay, the hell with it." I left it. And then me and Mickelson hit it off, so we talked the whole time. All we talked about was all the women that he knew in Southern California. No, that's not true. Mickelson is a genuinely phenomenal guy, period. I don't care about all these discrepancies. You don't know what's going on in his life. So why do people judge people like that? The only reason this girl said something is because it's Phil Mickelson. She's going to get some press. That's my opinion on the subject. I like the guy, whatever. That's just it.
Well, everybody well said.
Find the guy that they are best being under pressure.
Yep.
Under pressure, you can't fake it. It has to come out naturally, right? And I think that Tommy Fleet was just a phenomenal guy.
Yep.
John Rahm, I love the guy. I wish he would have stayed in the U.S. playing. Maybe he'll get back next year to playing better, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going with Fitzpatrick. And you're lucky Hurley didn't ask you for any money in that practice round. I'm sure there was some action going on.
No, there was none. Zero. Zero. Wow. Zero. And they're serious as a heart attack, those guys. I mean, Phil Mickelson stood out there on this one par four. And the green sits up way up here, and then there's a drop off. And he pitched the ball into the top of the hill with a lob wedge, and it stopped short. Then he took another club, hit the same spot, rolled out to the middle, hit it again, and it rolled out to the back. Three different clubs. So I says to him, I says, what's the idea there? He goes, "Oh, I just want to see based on which club I hit, how far they run out. So when the pin's there, I'll know which club to take." And I said to him, I go, "Ah, so." I said, "Now, obviously, that's predicated on you always hitting that spot, right?" And he just looked at me like, "What are you kidding?"
Well, but I mean, you mentioned Fitzpatrick. You're taking Fitzpatrick, and he does have, even though he's chipping cross-handed, he does have a pretty spectacular short game, which I think, you know, on the links course, from my experience.
He is just a killer. He has so many shots he can hit. He doesn't, and a links course, unless you hit it at gorse bush, You're not really trapped. If you're able to create some kind of a shot, you're right back in position, right? And the guy can do anything. The guy that Taylor Reid rep, the head rep, I asked him one time when I was talking to him, I said, "Who's the hardest guy to fit?" He didn't even blink. He said, "Fitzpatrick." I said, "Oh, why is that?" He goes, "He hits so many different shots. What club do you give it?" You know what I mean? I said, "Oh, that's interesting." Because you see the guy, you know, he's got some serious action in his swing. He can create a lot of shots. Very good.
It ain't, It is odd watching him chipping cack-handed, and by hell it works. But it just looks. Well, I was watching him quite a lot last week, and it just looks like it shouldn't, but it obviously does. I must actually go and try it a little bit.
If you ever
I've tried
tried it, you would be of that opinion too. It's the most unnatural shit in the world, like that, right? But when you see, like, my buddy Wolfgang, the guy I teach, he's one of the best amateurs in the world. He's just like God. It's like, if you saw that, you would think that's the way to do it.
I tried it and I found it really weird. I couldn't do it. It was just felt really disconnected.
Like watching backwards blind.
Yeah.
Well, to even things out, I'm going to go and pick Bobby Mack in this group, just because I don't. I think, either he's going to be right up there or he's going to miss the cut. But I think he's got some unfinished business. If you think about, especially the Masters this year, where he was, I believe in contention the first day maybe, and then he shot a 90 the first day. I don't even remember, but he was so pissed at himself that he didn't perform to his expectations, and I think he's going to have a good week. Let's go to the next category, which is the top six.
The first is saying you've already sunk the Titanic, which
I
is
know. Well, I want to give you a
on
chance.
the record. You'll get a free lesson if you win. Trust me, free lesson.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to charge you anyways,
It wasn't free from the beginning.
And I tell you what, Frank,
what you should be paying. Yeah,
that
no.
free lesson is literally worth tens of euros.
Yeah, my wife will bake you a Russian cupcake. I'll bring it back.
You have one that Putin uses, right? He gives it to his buddies.
Right, we did the Americans, we did the Euros. We got to take care of the top six players, the rest of the world, and we have Tom Kim, who lit up Renaissance on Sunday with a 64. Siwoo Kim, Joaquin Niemann from Chile, Minwoo Lee from Australia, Hideki, and Adam Scott. It's pretty amazing that from the top six players, the rest of the world, number six is 125 to one. That's not the case with the women now, is it? Let's go to Mr. Burley for the first pick in the top six, rest of the world, and see what you got to say for yourself there.
Well, for me, I was quite impressed last week with Minwoo Lee. I thought ball striking, it was quite impressive. I don't Did anyone see that driver he hit from the deck on the par five? He hit a driver from the deck, and it was just an absolute rocket right to the middle of the green, and he set up a really good eagle chance. But just incredible ball striking. I think he also seems to be enjoying himself quite a lot. I mean, he always does, but he seems to be having a lot of fun out there.
Interesting
That's
choice at 70 to 1. I like that. I didn't see the driver off the deck. I haven't
Oh, it's quite something.
gotten around to subscribing to Magenta TV. So all I see is the majors on Sky. But that's the way it goes. Malcolm, you want to take the next shot at the rest of the world?
I should go with Tom Kim, but I'm going to go with Adam Scott because I'm a sentimental old duck. I mean, Adam Scott, yeah, I know. He was not going to make it. He's not going to get there. I mean, look at the number of tournaments he's made the cut and he's been in. Look at the number of majors. His record is just phenomenal. He's still a guy who'll have half a bottle and being nice of wine before the last day. He is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in the world. He happens to be Australian, but if he came from England, he'd be a convict. If he came from Scotland, he'd just have been sent there by the other guys. Adam Scott's just the best, and we're not going to have that kind of guy on these tournaments for that much longer. So, purely from sentiment, actually, you know what? Not purely from sentiment. He is a bloody good golfer because his record attests to that. It's also we're talking about his driving being really important. I don't think golf it's necessarily just the length. He knows it. He understands it. He's got the background. He's got the patience. So, slightly sentimental, but
Especially if the course is running
Yeah.
firm. I mean, it's
Yeah.
not about the distance. And I was chuckling at the image of the sentimental duck. I mean, if that doesn't make you feel warm, I don't know what does. Picture a sentimental duck. I mean, that's just a beautiful image.
He always says hello. He always acknowledges the crowd. There's just not a bad thing about Adam Scott.
Well, I mean, we have not had him on. We've tried to get him on through the guys at Lab who worked for, with him from the beginning, and all they say about him is the nicest thing. I mean, he's just the way you described him.
Kumbaya, my lord.
Kumbaya. Yeah, seriously. I mean, but you know, maybe, but Ted, you know,
he knows Frank's history.
If we go a little deeper than Kumbaya, it's these role models, whether it's Adam Scott in golf, whether it's Federer or Nadal in tennis. You know, this is what I think many of the big sports, be it tennis, football, golf, basketball, is lacking these days. These nice guys that are real without trying to be.
Francis Senner, that was one of the nicest speeches anybody ever made in history.
What was that?
What's
Senner, when he won the Wimbledon. Yeah. That guy is a wonderful.
Absolutely. Speaker. Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
He has gone to the top of the ladder of really simpaticos. Guy's unbelievable. Back to the golf.
I agree with you. Ted, you are with the rest of the world. Who did you say you would take?
It doesn't matter. After Malcolm picked, I can pick anybody and beat him. So
you can pick anybody in the group.
And, you know, I think you got a great way of talking, Malcolm, but I'm going to tell you something right now. That was a horrendous pick. I love Ben Bundy. He's a really cool guy, right? But he always seems to die when he gets his chances. I think Neiman's a little bit better than Minwoo Lee like that. But you have to say this. Siwoo Kim, great swing. Love the guy. I keep waiting for Tom Kim to break through, and he's broken through, okay? The guy's really good, but he's out, okay? Matsuyama's been on the fringe too much. That leads me to whom? Siwoo who? You Siwoo Kim. I think he's going to be top five. I already picked the winner and the second place guy, so I am now going with the third place guy, Siwoo Kim.
There you go. That's a
good pick. I mean, I can't argue with that. Yeah, I did say mine was sentimental.
It is.
Nothing like a sentimental duck.
There it is.
I'm going with Tom Kim without wasting much time because Mr. Ogren is here, fresh from his lesson. Mr. Ogren, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm rescuing a volleyball girl to play golf. Oh. I hate volleyball because all of those volleyball girl athletes should be playing golf. If I gave Ted 12 volleyball girl athletes, he'd have 8 champions.
If that's not a joint venture, I don't know.
Pretty good average.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
They have very long legs.
Well, they got long levers. They can hit it. This girl had never hit a golf ball before, and she hit at least one driver that flew 150 yards. Just, it's hard to do something good with the girl's 4'9".
Setters. Yeah, that's true, man.
They just crush it 120.
Mr. Ogren.
I'll just give you a little, hold on, Frank.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little summation. He's gone down the sympathy road. He wanted to take old Tom Morris, but he's not in there. So Frank started drinking early. His picks are horrendous. Stuart's laughing every time they pick. So between me and Stuart, I already know what you're going to do. You're going to pick Scheffler, probably McIlroy, and come straight back with probably a solid pick, Siwoo Kim or Tom Kim, and then we'll be up to date. Go.
Chris Goddard-up.
Yeah, that's 3 Goddard-ups from the first category. And myself with Goddard-up.
Have you seen the meme with the Goddard-up and Freddie Couples and Lee Trevino kind of right in a row?
No, but it sounds awesome.
No, but how similar they are.
No, I have not.
And, you know, what's he won 3 times this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on a roll. Where are they playing over there? They're playing, what's the course they're playing this week?
Birkdale.
Oh, shit, Birkdale.
Liverpool, roll Birkdale.
Oh, man. I don't trust Rory. Mm. I don't know if anybody else feels like that.
Yeah.
Fitz's putting looked great last week. but I'm gonna go left-handed.
Oh my God! You just sunk the boat. You and Frank are on the Titanic. I can't believe this. I've always had such respect for you. Were you had the earphone in on this whole thing? You come in. And...
No. Wait a minute. No. Just after all of the excitement, after all the 40-year-old goalkeepers standing on their head to keep balls out of the net, and my team doing something unthinkable to a South American team, and all of the cool stories, 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the World Cup finals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Chalk.
Yeah.
Chalk is so easy.
Yep.
Chalk is so easy. I don't trust the LIV players, so Jacko is out.
Yes.
Adam Scott's putting with a long putter. So do I. So I know where he's at.
You're broomsticking it?
Oh, Malcolm just ate the schnitzel. Another stone, yeah. Another stone in the sinking boat.
Siwoo. I'm going to go Siwoo.
I'm going to be so happy if he wins. You guys are going to be so much humble pie if old Adam Scott whacks you around the head with his broom.
Love it. And you missed our rendition of Kumbaya. The only thing it was missing out of Malcolm's, whatever you want to call that thing.
The sentimental duck.
What are we, youth group?
Yeah, we're on a class trip. All right. Well, that's the top six rest of the world. Every time I look up David Ogren's Wikipedia page, which is almost every day, it always comes straight onto my screen with a little asterisk. David Ogren did not play in an Open. And we've talked about this many times. And I always, right at this point, I've seen it 100 times. I get a chuckle out of it. But do you regret not playing in an Open?
No, I actually don't think about it very much. I came, I tried twice, 82, mm-hmm. which was Troon, right? And 91, which I think was St. Andrews. And I died an unceremonious and painful death in the Heather Gorse and Humps and Bumps of whatever qualifying courses I was on. And so me being an American kid and having been one that had to fight to keep my American card, I went to the Quad Cities or whatever other opposite event was. And I did just fine. Thank you.
Yep.
Didn't have any jet lag.
I think for the first time this year, they did this final last qualifier at Birkdale with like 12 guys that were like next in line.
No, they didn't play the Birkdale. They would have never played. They played West Lancs.
No, but it was a special qualifier, like a last chance thing. You know what I'm talking about, Malcolm?
I don't know.
They changed the qualifiers, I think, after Muirfield in 13, because the qualifiers always used to be the week of the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the Open in the area, which was great for tourism because you got all these qualifier courses. But it was very difficult for the guys because could they get accommodation? They're probably not going to make the cut. So it's really expensive for them. So they've pushed it back out to a couple of times. So Craigie Law is here. There's one in the north of England. So probably about four in the UK. And I think that's around the world. They've also extended, I think, invites to, I think, people coming in more minor competitions. Mm-hmm. Like I think, do Liv have some?
I believe they do, yes. I think that's how Neiman got in.
And same on the Asian tour and different tours. So they're trying to make it an Open so you can qualify through different tours and through regional qualifiers. So actually, Frank, you could qualify for the Open if you.
I could, I'm pretty sure they had an 18-hole qualifier Monday yesterday.
Could have done
with just 12 guys who were on the bubble. Matti Schmidt was one of them, and who this guy Dean, I think, won.
Yeah, Dean won it. Yeah,
he shot like 2 under, and I think it's the first time they've done it. I thought it was a terrific thing. Let's move on to the next category, which is best of the rest open champs, guys who have won the open in the past. Shane, other than the ones we've already mentioned here, we have Shane Lowry in this group, 2019 open champion, Brian Harman, 2023, Jordan Spieth, 2017, Cam Smith, only a few years ago, 2022, Francesco Molinari, 2018, and Patrick Harrington, 2007 and 2008. And let's give the honors to Mr. Ogren, who has just joined us on in this category.
Yeah, I would love to say Cam Smith, but I'm just going to use the same analysis I had with Jocko a second ago. I don't trust the LIV guys right now. I just don't know if they've played enough golf, to be honest with you. Frankie and Padre, just, yeah, whatever. Jordan, he could stand on the coast of Ireland, shoot west, and hit Holland right now with his driver. So it's either Shane or Brian Harman, and nobody ever gives Brian Harman any love. So Brian Harman will have a backdoor top 10 and get the applause as he comes up the last few holes because he's an open champion, and that'll be that.
Yeah,
you need to turn the TV on, people. You heard it right here.
You mentioned
darn right, long ball.
I like that. I like that. So you think like me. Stop picking winners. Pick guys that are going to perform.
He doesn't really miss. That's the funny part about Brian. He just doesn't really miss. He just kind of pokes along, yeah. And he's boring, and he's won an open championship because, you know, they challenge him. He didn't have any stones. Well, he had stones.
Yeah. He's like that little pea shooter that in match play you definitely don't want to play. But, David, you said you don't trust the LIV guys because they haven't played enough golf. But is it also the competition that they play against, that they haven't been in this environment with the majority of the best players in the world?
Of the LIV guys, who's playing the best?
Well, it sure ain't Bryson. Who's playing the best from the LIV guys? Let me think.
Probably John Rahm.
Yeah, probably.
I guess you'd have to watch it to know.
Yeah. Do you watch it?
No,
I don't watch it either.
I look at the box score. But I also look at the box score of the Texas League in minor league baseball, so I'm one of those guys. I look at English second division cricket to see who's bowling any good.
Yeah.
It sounds like a character out of my favorite book, Dead Solid Perfect. It's hard to read that book because you get tears in your eyes, you're laughing so hard. That is one of the great books, and you can tell he's from that part of the world when you read that book.
And its companion book, The Inexorable Victims of the Dogged Victims of an Inexorable
Fate. That's the guy who won the Open, and the high-speed cameras found that he was hitting the ball twice, so he got disqualified.
Suki Yama, or whatever his name was.
Dan Jenkins, man, could you imagine sitting at a bar with that guy drinking beers and the stories he could tell? I mean, unbelievable.
Been there and done that.
Oh, hello, Dan Jenkins.
Wow.
I got to get to a round of golf with Lee Trevino before I die. I always get in that area, and I think I know where he hangs out. I know enough people. I just love to play with the guy. My favorite ever. Okay.
So the Shinnecock U.S. Open that Ray Floyd won was the one I played in, and I found myself with the Golf Digest people at a bar out in the middle of Long Island with Dan Jenkins.
Is that where it was? How cool is that?
It was really cool. And Dan was worse in person than he was in print.
Wow. Wow. That's a story.
How was that, man? Yeah. Don't you wish they had days where you had one of those phones and you could, you know, just like film those kind of conversations? I mean,
absolutely.
Anyways, okay.
All right, so Harman it is for Mr. Ogren, the lefty pea shooter who nobody wants to play. Ted, who do you like in this group?
Okay, I mean, obviously, you know, coming from the game of golf, like the man, I think the same way he does. Harrington, love him, it's over. Molinari, it's over. Love to pick Cam Smith, but he went for the money, and he could have been one of the best players in the world and won a lot of majors, but he took the money. Jordan Spieth can beat the ground with a boat paddle. Everybody thinks that he's going to somehow come back, but I'm with you on that. It just looks to me like he's all over the place with his golf swing. I like Brian Harman. I think Shane Lowry's phenomenal, and he's always, for some reason, in there. He sneaks in there. I think he's a quality pick. I'm taking him.
You're taking Harman also?
No, I didn't take him. I only take one. I just justified Harman as being a solid ball striker. I saw it live. I just think that Shane Lowry, he's got that grit, what it takes to drive himself through the tournament. Phenomenal short game and just a good guy. When they threw that beer on Rory's wife and he went after that guy, so that's my man. You know what I mean? If I was behind that guy, I'd have held him so he could punch him.
Yeah. Ted, you just said that Cam Smith could have won a ton of majors and he took the money. Do you think he'd come back now that Liv's...
He'll go somewhere. Where's he going to go? Is he going to invest in the Liv? Listen, the bottom line is the music and all that stuff's fun. It's probably an abomination of what hole is that? That par three at Phoenix? They try to make it a whole, you know, scenario of that.
Yeah.
It was a good idea, but... The game is all about the big tournaments, the big names, and watching history evolve in front of you. That is the great thing about watching majors, right?
Yeah. But a guy like Koepka now that's come back, how long will it take him, in your opinion, to come back to?
I think he's missed the boat. I think he's out of his prime time. I think he'll be like Phil Mickelson in that at some point, he'll break through, but he's not a quality player like he used to be for majors. He just isn't.
And you can't get it back.
I like the guy, and I really like the guy. I just think that these guys have missed the boat. There's a lot of no-names in there now. Goddard, who the hell is he, right? There's a lot of no-names in there that are golfing their ball, and they're not scared of these guys. There's nobody out there that these guys are that scared of.
That's... an interesting take that you can't get that back. Mr. Burley.
I agree with Ted completely. I think if you're at the game for 2 or 3 years doing something else, you come back, it's all changed completely by the time you get back. The next generation's coming through so quickly. You know, you've got young players now and they're all supermen, you know? So it's very difficult now to come back and just expect that everything's going to fall into your lap again. Brooks Koepka, yeah, he's had it very easy for a few years. He's now going to realize how hard it is just to get back to where he was. And even then, he's older than he used to be, you know. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point, Ted. And again, looking at list of players, I mean, I can't really pick out any one. The only one really is Shane Lowry because, you know, you're going to get some bad bounces this week. You're going to get a lot of bad bounces. You're going to end up in some ridiculous positions. You've got to get up and down from everywhere. Shane Lowry has the best hands. For the short game, I think he's going to be right up there.
There you go. It's a Burley pick, Jane Lowry, Mr. Duck.
Well, I think I said on one of these before. There's nobody in that field that can't win it. Everyone can win it. A lot of people are unlikely to win it, but they've all got the potential to win it. And there's nobody dominating the field that's a standout winner. You know, Rory, you would think should be, but as Ted said, is he? You'll get there, be there all the time, but will he win it? From this list, if you hadn't gone to Liv, you're probably looking at Cam Smith. What a talent. What a talent. And really good on links golf. I mean, when he won it at St. Andrews, he changed all his wedges when he went to St. Andrews because he realized there's the wrong bounce in his wedges for links golf. So there's part of me that wants to go with him, but I agree. I don't think he's played enough golf. Harman, yeah, he's there all the time. Shane Lowry, he's done it before. He's got nothing to lose. He's been brought up on links golf, an Irishman in England having fun. So for me, it's really between Shane Lowry and Harman. I think Harman will be up there. But as far as winning it's concerned, if I've got to do what Ted says and be a good boy and pick the winner as opposed to being a sentimental duck, I'm going to go for Shane Lowry.
Sure you'd go with Jordan Spieth because he and Adam Scott could just sit around and have a beer and talk about the old days.
I'll make it easy on you, Ted. I'm going to pick Jordan.
There you go, Frank. I'm going to tell you something right now.
That's two free lessons now.
By about 20 drones.
How old's Jordan Spieth now?
I have no idea. 35?
No, I don't
as
think
old as that?
Older?
No, I think that old.
But I mean, you know, I mean, when you talk about missing the boat, I mean, Spieth, missed the boat without leaving. You know, I mean, they were the two guys coming up.
No,
with Ricky, and all of a sudden.
No, that's not what happened.
What happened?
Was if you looked at his golf swing in transition, his right arm would get stuck behind him. He'd leave the ball out to the right. Okay. So then he decides to change his golf swing, gets more bowed at the top with his wrist, shut the club face, and drag it across, right, to kind of ausgleich. What is that called in German, in English? Ausgleich. Compensation.
Compensation. Yes, very good.
And went a different direction. And he, look, the idea, maybe he should have went to somebody else and say, what do I need to fix this, right? Because why do you go from what you've done and been successful and turn it all upside down? Why? Because nobody's got an answer to get you where you want to go. That's why. If you could have found something that was a simpler fix, he would not have been sitting there driving himself nuts trying to change his golf swing. He was a very natural player.
Hmm. Yeah, anyway, but, you know, but Ted, that reminds me of the talk we had with Adi in one of our last shows, where you take the technical side of the game and try to combine it with what really makes a winner.
Yes.
You talk about, you know, the one, the whatever, the holistic approach.
Yeah.
You think it's purely technical for Jordan?
No, I think it's the way he went about trying to solve his problem. They couldn't figure out, without, you know, completely changing his technique, how to fix it. So they said, okay, let's just go a different direction. They just reinvented his ball striking is what they basically did. That's it.
It's well, I expect him to be all over the place.
Went and saw somebody else, probably a handful of guys, they would have taken a different approach to fixing his ball striking, and it probably would have worked out better for him.
Mm-hmm. Now we get to two. I love these categories. Young guys under 30. And that's there's a lot of guys under 30 that we've already seen in the other categories, but these six guys are pretty impressive. And then the best players without a major. Let's go for the under 30s first. We have Marco Penge, who is the senior in this group at 28 years old. David Puig. I don't know. Mr. Burley, was that correct? You speak Spanish.
I've no idea.
Tom McKibben, 23 years old. Another live guy. Jacob Bridgman, Akshay, and of course, available as always, the Højgaards. Let's go to Ted for the first one on this one.
Well, I think you'd be a dumbass not to take the Højgaards. Although Rasmus, who was actually when they turned pro, kind of he got going quicker than his brother. But those two boys can play. I mean, those are winners. You know, they're built to win mentally, and they're also very strong ball strikers. I like Ashke Bhatia. I think he's phenomenal. I just like he's different than anybody else. I love the guy. I know Marco Penge pretty well. He kills the guy, the ball. He's so happy to be back in Europe now, you know, that I think he's going to be in a good place mentally. He knows the course really well. So I'm going down a sentimental road here, Malcolm, and I'm going to take Penge. He played with Hurley at the Open. And he came up to me 2 weeks later on a putting green, and he said to me, I've never seen anything like the way your son can pitch. The short game I've ever seen. And I just told him, I said, you saw a kernel of sand, and I've seen the ocean. So I love that guy. He's the most authentically, genuinely great guy, and he kills the ball. I'm taking it.
And I think with his charisma, he's and now that he's on the PGA Tour, he's a superstar in the making.
He's a great guy. He's like a Tommy. He's a souped-up version of Tommy Fleetwood.
Exactly.
He doesn't talk to anything. He's not. He's just generally a good guy. But, man, I've watched that guy hit the ball. When you're sitting there going after par fours with 320 carry and you're teeing it up and you have nothing else in your head but smoking it, you can play.
Mm-hmm. So, good choice. Mr. Duck from the youngsters.
So, who's the youngest person and at what age
I believe
did
that's
he
Tom
play?
McKibben at 23.
To play in the Open, not to win, to play.
Oh, to play the Open. I'm sorry. I have no
Yeah.
idea who to, let me think. I think I
David, you would have been playing with him.
the youngest guy to
An
play.
Irishman.
I don't know.
Ronan Rafferty, 1984, age
Oh my God.
16.
I was going to say Christy
Oh, jeez, Ronan Rafferty, age 16.
Oak.
Oh my God.
Flashback. Do you
And
have a
who was? Yeah, it's like mushroom flashbacks.
you have
He
a
was
Ronan Rafferty story?
the second youngest. The youngest was young Tom Morris in 1865.
There we go.
Big gap, big gap. It is amazing, some of these young guns. And when Tom Watson didn't win it at Turnberry,
Yeah.
I just wish he'd done it because he would have had this almost 60-year-old standing on the tee winning with a, I think the other guy was 16 but older than Ronan, 16 winning the amateur. So a game of golf played at a high level by someone in his teens and someone in his late 50s. What a game we have to be played by all levels of all people. So all
Yes,
you guys out there and girls, get out there and start playing.
hear to that.
I've got to go to Hoggards. I think they're watching it this week. It's just glass in the glass. And the younger generation coming through, what have they done? We talked about Liv, all these girls going to Liv. Or, we're gonna miss them. They're hard to replace them. We've forgotten about them in 10 minutes because the class coming through, and the 60 or 70 of people underneath the tour are also class. So it's you got to not be good at golf to play in this tour. You've got to be organized, book your flights. You've got the mental strength. There's a huge amount to go and do. So hats off to them and to all those who coach them, not just in their swings, but how to get from A to B and the mental sides of it, which have made a big advance. So I'm going with the bottom pick, the Hoggyard.
You're going with the Højgaard. Yes, but Malcolm, let me just slide in there for a second with the young guys and Liv. I mean, you have this guy, David Puig, who's on Liv, and you have this other guy,
Yeah.
the Spanish guy by the name of Chacara, who I believe went straight from college to Liv and now has come back and won twice on the European Tour this year. Is it easier for a young guy to recover and come back than for a Cam Smith or a Brooks Koepka?
I would think so because these young guys haven't been in either, so it's just a, they've gone to a step up to live. When they come back, they'll go to a step up again, and the competition will be harder. And the live guys were at all the junior competitions trying to get those guys to go direct. I also think that the younger guys, if you're under 24, 25, if they're going to not allow the older guys back to back in, I think they should allow the guys under 23, 25, or there's maybe an age cutoff, so they should be allowed to come back in because were they at the right stage to make those decisions? And they are the youngsters are the future of the game.
I like that. Mr. Ogren.
Well, the young gun category is interesting. So we've got this analysis that some of the guys that left, they've missed this new wave of players coming up. And I got to see the future of professional golf last week when I caddied for Oliver in the North and South. And we got to play with Justin Matthews. Now, who's Justin Matthews? He's the Canadian amateur that was, what, fifth place? Going to the last two holes of the Canadian Open and finished double triple.
Oh, man.
Okay, right. He finishes double triple, right? So we're playing with him at the North and South, and there's a couple things. One, he goes, "I'm an amateur.
Cost me
I'm
nothing.
not playing for any money.
That's
I
exactly.
went for it." He's not embarrassed at all. He went for it. He went for the win and made double bogey, right? And then legitimately, he was hitting at 60 yards past Ollie. And Ollie's getting it out there 285, 290, 300. And Justin's out there hitting it 350, 360.
Wow.
Right? And good chipping, good putting, made number two look pitch and putt at Pinehurst. So these young guys are just phenomenal. Of this group, obviously the I created the bonus pick, so I'm gonna leave it off. I do like Marco Penge, I really do.
Ooh.
And I think Puig would be good too. I'm gonna use the Dodgers pronunciation. I think he'd be good too if he comes if he gets away from Liv and plays real golf.
I believe it's the first.
I don't trust Akshay for the same reason that I don't trust Adam Scott.
Hmm.
You got the broom. I got the broom. I know why I got the broom.
Yeah, but he never went through what you did. The broom is a viable option. This guy's that start out with the broom now.
I tell you what, if I could, I would teach anchoring from the get-go.
It'd be great if you could anchor. Wouldn't it? I think so much nice
anchor. Anchor on purpose instead of accidentally.
Yes. I think one thing, but David, just as a coach, Tom McKibben, we've played with him. The guy's got a great swing, very nice guy, and he kills it. That guy's going to be a force, trust me. I don't know if he's quite got the killer, but he certainly has got the pedigree, and he's got the blue blood, everything. The guy is really, really, really good. He's going to make a lot of money. If you're his coach, you're loving life right now.
I'm going to get myself out of the way right here and take Tom McKibben in this group and pass the baton to Brother Burley.
Well, I mean, you got to get two for the price of one, so I'm going to go for the Højgaards.
Thank you.
I like a bargain.
The frugal Dutch.
I like a bargain.
The Højgaards.
So for the last month, I've been doing lessons going to the left, to the left, to the left, to the left, to the right, to the front, to the right, to the right.
They're crazy for it here.
No, and so they were in Houston on the Friday.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked, I said, you guys want to hop in the car dressed in orange and go down there and just march with them?
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
They're the best fans. They're the craziest fans. They really are. You get to any tournament where the Dutch are playing, look at the crowd. They're all doing some stupid shit. It's unbelievable.
All right, gentlemen, we've arrived at the last category, the best of the rest without a major. The best player without a major is always a hot topic across all media platforms. And we have quite a group here. We have Tyrrell. We have Victor Hovland. We have Russell Henley. And many experts call him the best player without a major these days. Sam Burns, Patrick Cantlay, his train may have left the station, and Harris English. With a last name like that, we just don't know. Malcolm, would you like to go first in this category?
I think Harris English is underperformed. I think Harris English is a very talented golfer. I just don't know why he's not come through. Some really good players. Victor Hovland, for me, just last week looked really relaxed. He looked as he was playing within his skin. He's such a beautiful ball striker, nice guy. Putting, chipping, all good. From what I saw, hit a lot of fairways. I can't actually remember where he finished. But he's pretty consistent guy out there. Tyrrell Hatton, he's one of those guys who could do it. He's not always up there, but he's certainly got the skill in the game and the tenacity. And, you know, it's home ground for him, really, as a Brit. He played there a fair amount. But I think Victor's just, there's something very classy about him. I'm surprised he's not won a major. I'd love to see him do it. I think he's a really nice guy. Always got a smile on his face and a hell of a golfer. So I'm going for Victor.
Maybe he'll be inspired by the Norwegian football team. Wouldn't that be something? Because every once in a while on my social media feed, this little clip keeps coming up where Victor Hovland says, "Well, I just suck at chipping," and that's one area he's really improved in my opinion. And when you look at the stats, strokes gained around the green, he's in the top 15 of the tour. So I picked him also, so I'm going to get myself out of the way again. Mr. Long.
Theoretically, you and Bill Murray have all both picked Hovland, right? So I should theoretically pick him, because I've already got you beaten in every other category. Okay, that way I can't lose. And I was gonna pick Hovland until, and I really realize this. And Malcolm, trust me, you're a lovely guy. If there's anybody who's the antithesis to me, it's you. Well spoken, you're thought out nicely, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, because I've watched people for a living. You know, people always say, what do you do for a living? I said, watch people. Mm. I figure out how they think. I figure out what their habits are. And then I just try to change their habits slightly and explain to them why they're going to have fun doing it. That's basically the short version, okay? But Malcolm,
great job to have.
You could have the perfect job. If you were coming to me and says, Ted, I'm really frustrated. You know, I've tried everything. I can't find anything I like. I want to work another 10 years. You know what you should do? You should be a tour guide at the RNA. I mean, my God, you sell the past. You speak well. I've never known anybody who knows so much about so many things that really don't mean anything to anybody but maybe five people. But it's impressive if you're one of those five people to hear it. I mean, it's really, really impressive. But when you went on the Victor Hovland and put him up there with Adam Scott, it says, no way in hell I'm picking that guy now. Okay. Now, okay. The one guy who you would never pick, ever pick, because you can't talk about him like that, is Terrell Hatton. Okay. So to hell with all those other guys, I'm going with the guy who's probably close to me on throwing clubs, Terrell Hatton.
Maybe he's the best player on Live right now.
Ted, you know how difficult it is to live life in a human body as a duck. You know, it's not an easy gig, waddling around your way through life, trying to communicate with all these human beings.
If you're a cricket enthusiast, here he comes, the duck.
Terrell Hatton for Mr. Long. David, best of the rest without a major.
Well, I was just doing a quick search, right? And after bashing Akshay for using the broom, find out he's number two in strokes gained putting. And after ignoring Jacob Bridgman, find out he's number three in strokes gained putting.
Now we know.
Which puts number four is Sam Burns in strokes gained putting.
Okay.
Ooh.
So I'm going to pick Sam Burns as the best of the rest without a major. But it's really interesting, because what's the one thing we all think Scotty doesn't do particularly good? Putting. He's 14th in strokes gained putting.
Yeah, that's how good he is.
Those kind of numbers are no good if you're a tour guide, because they're moving, they're changing, and you'd have to constantly memorize new facts.
I'm not the tour guide. I'm watching Division III EPL over there, trying to figure out if Longball Forest is going to beat Stuart Hall in a match.
You're the guy.
How many corner kicks did Forest have this week? I don't know.
You need to talk to my nephew. He actually works for a site. He does all the analytics for the gambling on me, and he knows everything about how many rebounds somebody so gets if somebody's not playing. He knows all that shit. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you're betting on English third division football, you are a degenerate.
I couldn't name one team in the third division.
Get that far. Oh, had to bet on a lot of other things too.
You know that division just right above Major League Soccer here in North America.
Yes, yeah, probably true.
That's what you're into. Jesus Christ!
Did I pick Sam Burns?
Yeah, you did pick Sam Burns.
Okay, good.
Mr. Burley.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Victor Hovland. Victor looked quite good last week. I think he's got. I don't think hitting the ball a long way is going to make a difference this week. It's going to be quite crispy. And actually, talking to which, Malcolm, are you going to be at the Open this week?
I'm not, sadly.
Okay.
I'm going up to seniors because I'm old and like has-beens.
I just the phrase crispy duck just turned up in my mind.
Brother Burley, you will be at the Open?
No. I'm going to be watching it on my couch. I'm going to get my snacks, going to get my drinks, going to kick everyone out.
What I wouldn't give to sit right next to you.
Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah. All right, guys, clean it up for a second. Here's my 3 o'clock lesson coming in for
How are you? Okay, David, we need two wild. Hey, how are you?
These are a bunch of guys around the world.
That's cool.
We're talking about the British Open predictions. Who's your prediction? Pick one.
Anybody?
Yeah.
You're live on air.
Justin Thomas. I don't know.
Justin Thomas. Okay. He's got Justin.
Okay. Off the top of my head.
We need two wild cards from you.
Don't ever get that kid started on gambling. He'll be betting on the third league before he's 50.
two wild cards. I don't even know who's in the rest of the field.
I got on the screen for you the top 10 betting wild cards. Justin Rose, Patrick Reed, Justin Thomas, Bryson, Aaron Rye, Brooks, JJ, Alex Fitzpatrick, Ben Griffin, and Maverick McNealy. Those are the next.
Do we have to pick from that list, Frank?
You don't. No, you can pick anybody. That's just a cheat sheet for the wild card. So,
right.
You can. Oh, wow. Anybody. Gosh.
I would be shocked
out of that list. Out of that JJ. List, the real quick, snappy picks would be Aaron Rye and Ben Griffin.
Hmm.
For me, although Captain America has been playing better and better and better.
Oy, 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 oy.
But I'm going to take Aaron Rye and Ben Griffin. And again, not so much to win, but to be there.
To be there. Yeah, exactly. At this point, that's what we're looking for. David, before you go to your 3 o'clock lesson or whatever it is, the World Cup. We're going to need a prediction from you. You've witnessed it in the States. We're just watching what the media tells us. How has it been received in the U.S.? Are people really as excited about it? Has it made an impact even since the Americans got the tournament?
This is my no shitter. It's been perfect except for about 48 hours. It's been perfect except for 48 hours.
That were
Trump and one phone call.
Yeah, I was going to say where Trump got involved.
You guys are sports fans, right? And you have your teams, right?
Yep.
You don't change the luck. You don't do anything as to mess with the karma.
Yeah.
I think the United States would have played great if Balogun has to sit and nobody does anything. We just play it straight.
I agree.
Your swing, right? You don't go to ultimate boat risk dragging it across the ball because it's not something you need to do. Yeah. And so, God, I mean, it's been so well received. Everybody's been excited about it. All the soccer community, and I'm kind of semi part of that because I pay attention. It's been great. Yeah. And then, so it's been a wonderful thing. And, except for the intervention there, which just reeks of corruption.
Who's your pick to win it all on Sunday?
Or who did you bet on? Is better the way you put it.
Do I want to bet on a 19-year-old or do I want to bet on the best player in the field still? Do I want to bet on Lamal or do I want to bet on Mbappe?
Well, Spain is leading 1-0 at halftime here in the semifinals.
And who they got right now?
1-0 Spain at halftime.
Who are they beating?
France.
I would have bet on Mbappe. But now knowing that, that's like being five strokes down at the turn.
I love that.
You know, and Messi's got magic. I'm going to stick with Mbappe. I'm going to say comeback and winning in the second extra time. That's 2-1.
I said 3-2. France is going to beat Spain in overtime. That's what I said.
And we're going to get to our prediction at the end. David, thank you so much for dialing in and enjoy your lesson. Teach that young man how to hit the Tommy Fleetwood stinger.
Hey, Ted, everybody who teaches golf has one student who shows up no matter what.
Yes.
It was 105 a couple weeks ago, and there's one guy hitting balls. It's this kid, 12 years old.
You got to love that.
Right.
It's what it takes.
If you like hitting balls, how can you not want to hit a shot under pressure? Ollie.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a great kid. And then here's one of my one of the young ladies that I mentor. This is Molly Wood. She's a sophomore at the University of Texas at Dallas.
Yes.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi, Molly.
Hello, Molly.
These are the guys around the world.
Nice to meet y'all.
Can I ask you a question, Molly?
Yes.
Why is his head so much bigger than yours?
Age.
Boom. See you guys later.
Take care, David.
There's David.
Yeah. All right. He's got Aaron Ryan, Ben Griffin. Let's
go next because I have to go to.
Let's go to Ted.
Okay. I'm loving the fact that JJ Spahn's there. I think the guy's a machine striking the ball. He's proven that he can win. I think he's not only going to win it. I think he's going to win at least one more major. I love him. Okay.
You can pick anybody. It doesn't have to be on this list.
And I'm going out on a limb on this one, but Justin Rose has been so good. So good. He's been so consistently good. He's got so much experience. He still keeps coming back as close as he gets. He never gets down on himself. I'm combining the Malcolm Duck sympathy feeling with a guy who can actually play. I'm going with Rose and JJ Spahn. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I mean this in all seriousness, I think either one of those guys could win. This is not a card filler. This is not a Yahtzee pick, okay?
I agree.
I'm going for the jugular vein.
I agree. Both of those guys can win. Absolutely.
Okay, gone.
Ted, one minute before you go, it would be remiss of me not to ask you about the European Championship and your impressions from there. Your boy Wolfgang Glawe did a tremendous job fighting for Germany to make it into the top eight.
Yeah.
What are your takes from that? Us not being in the top eight.
Well, it's not about the top eight so much to me because there was a lot of good players. If you look at Estonia, they actually smoked us, right?
Yep.
We had a pretty good team. I think that we probably, because Estonia played at home, they knew the course better. They were used to rainy, lousy weather, right? I don't think our guys, if I had to say anything, you know, going in, were ready for what the job that they were going to have to do on that type of golf course in that kind of weather. You know, it's been so hot over here, and even in England, the weather's been so perfect that suddenly you went up there and it's just pissing down with rain. Wolfgang he sent me a video, and I was like, man, how are you guys shooting those scores in that weather? I think that kind of weather really gets to you, and I think, to me, that was it. I think we got a lot of good young players, but I've already talked about that.
I was hoping for that answer. Ted, thank you very much for stopping by. I know you're...
Who in the hell is Alan Minto anyways?
He's one of the guys from Scotland where golf began. So he actually was a golf pro. And he held the course record around Old Musselburgh with Hickories, 62.
Wow.
Oh, Ted. Put him on your
amateur. And I was like, I don't remember Alan Minto being on this show.
No, I've borrowed his account so we can do some. We host our podcast on this, so I need to change the name.
Okay, boys, nice talking.
Ted, we'll see you at Heidlinger. Thank you, my friend.
Where do you live, Malcolm? Just out of curiosity.
Aberlady, just beside Muirfield. Always a bed here if you're across.
Okay, I will because I'm nothing else. I just want to walk around and have you point left and right and tell me about all the places. In the tip shop over there, that's where Jack Nicklaus's caddy always ate. In fact, he ordered the same thing, number 14. I've had 14 since. He ordered it every day when he won the Open. I can hear all of this kind of stuff coming. Can't you, Stuart? Tell the truth. The guy's putting information unbelievable. Hey, Frankie, just one tip. When you talk to us, look in the camera because sometimes you look away. You can't hear that well.
Well, because I'm looking, I got this camera here at the top of the laptop. Usually I have an extra camera, and I apologize, Ted. But again, you look beautiful. And before you go, my two wild cards, Maverick McNealy and Tim Wiedemeyer. The German. No, I'm going with McNealy. I went with him last time. I think he's still there. And I'm going to pick Wiedemeyer, but I would like to reserve the option of taking Matti Schmidt, who is the first alternate, just in case he gets in. I will drop Wiedemeyer.
That's cool.
Matti. All right. Mr. Duck, your two wild cards.
Well, I mean, you said it. I'm going with Justin Rose because, you know, he was second 2 years ago. Yeah. He was second in the Masters. He's a class act. He's got a great caddy back on his back. He's nothing to fear. He's measured. I think he's a great outside bet.
I saw an interview with him about watching the game tomorrow night, the England game, and having to wake up for an early tea time. And it was just the classiest interview you can imagine about a topic like that. So I love the guy. And wouldn't that be some story?
That would be fantastic. And then Aaron Rye, another Englishman. You know, I think he's on a good run of form. He's been thereabouts. I think Aaron's. Yeah, the two of those. We'll go with those two. I really love Justin to win it.
I think Brother Burley is going to surprise us with his wild card.
Well, Eugenio Chicada. He's.
I love you.
150 to
the
one.
Eugenio.
I've been saying all week it's going to be Fleetwood. It would be my number one pick, but my outside bet will be Chicada. I really, plus the fact he swings it like me,
and you know, so, got Spanish hands.
Yeah. Well, you know, and dodgy knees. But I think Chicada is my first one, and my other one would be Justin Thomas, just to put the cat amongst the pigeons.
JT. All right, guys. Thank you very much for tonight. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup. The second half is about to start.
Yeah.
We will put out the sheets, and then we will work on the David Ogren special RotoFest, where we will pick the 2028 Masters this year. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That was it. To the Linksland.